This is Mr. Michael Dean broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America. And my radio wrestling name is the Iron Hamster. And on the other end of the inner tubes, we have Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, the Bearded Possum. Are you there? Are you safe? Have you been contacted by the government, Ben?
I am in a location in southern Missouri, northern Arkansas area, where even the government can't find me.
I don't believe that, but I'm glad you're well.
So, no, this is probably popping me up on their radar.
Well, I did read a news item in passing a couple years ago that was not on a conspiratorial board. It was on mainstream media, which, you know, some people who seek the truth would say is the real conspiracies, the mainstream media. That's the real conspiracy theories. And it was something to the effect of that the some department, some newly minted faction of the federal department of stealing your money and doing useless things with it in an ineffective way that harm you. And the only saving grace is that they're so inefficient at it. That's their website, .com. That's their website, .gov, sorry. That some faction of the U.S. federal government was regularly or always recording, digitally recording, all talk radio now. And, I mean, that didn't seem surprising to me, but, you know, it was some department of keeping people from hearing things that shouldn't be heard, and we need to keep them accountable. And, you know, I mean, there's Christian groups that record all TV and media, you know, and to look for smut so they can complain about it. And there's left-wing groups that record everything that Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck say so they can find them saying something that they think sounds racist so they can boycott all their advertisers and all their affiliates of their advertisers and all the parent corporations of their advertisers. You know, everyone's keeping an eye on everybody else all the time. And there's, you know, feminist groups watching all the media and taking notes. And there's men's rights movement media watching all the media and taking all the notes. And all the factions of, we want to tell everyone else how they should do their thing because we feel harmed. And it's apparently illegal to now hurt someone's feelings. So there's all these groups, busybodies, just devoted to doing that all the time. And, you know, so it didn't surprise me that the government was, recording all of the government-controlled FCC-licensed radio stations. But it was the interesting thing to me was that it just kind of slipped under the radar. Like, it came out as a news item, and it just went away. Like, people just said, oh, okay, there's bigger things to worry about. There's children being harmed in this world. But, you know, I kind of give everything an equal importance of, this is to be watched.
I was trying to explain that to somebody. I think it was a couple of years ago that they did things like that. And the response of this person was to kind of look at me in surprise. And he said, that's why we have government. That's their job. They're supposed to be listening to everything that's said and watching for us behind every corner and in every bush. And I was just like, wow.
That is pretty impressive. Pretty bizarre. Yeah, I learned a new phrase yesterday. It's the it's called the fallacy of relative privation. Do you know this one?
Wow, I don't think I've heard of that.
Well, it pertains to today's topic. And today's topic, probably also the name of this show, this episode, is it's easier to fool people than to convince them they've been fooled. That's been attributed to Mark Twain. Although, wouldn't it be funny if he didn't actually say it and we were being fooled by that would only be appropriate. You know, it's kind of like that quote of that great American Thomas Jefferson, who said that the problem with the internet is the inability of determining the veracity of the content within. Or was that Benjamin Franklin?
I think Benjamin Franklin said that.
Okay. so let me say this again. It is easier to fool people than to convince them that they've been fooled. And you and I like to study logical fallacies, which, I mean, there's like 100 of them. There's like 100 named logical fallacies. I'm guessing somewhere between 50 and 120. I've seen a list that scrolls down a page. And, you know, the most logical fallacies are things people use when arguing a point that aren't really, you know, they're not logical fact. They're not good argument techniques. They're not scientific. They don't show, they don't, they're kind of shortcuts people use when they're boxed into a corner. And some of the greatest debaters and people who believe they are great debaters use them all the time and then either don't see it or won't admit it and point out when they see it in others. Like, there's a few that are really common. Ad hominem, straw man, and red herring are the three that most people know about. They're probably the most common too. Ad hominem is it means at the man, and it's attacking somebody's person in an argument. Like, you know, if I was discussing something with Ben and I said, yeah, what do you know? You have a beard, you know, that'd be a really obvious one. But, you know, another one might be, or not if I were arguing with Ben, but if I were arguing with someone else and I said, well, you know, I am college educated and you only finished high school, so you don't really have the authority to speak on this, which is also another fallacy, which is the appeal to authority. The, you know, the ad hominem is just attacking the person instead of dissecting their ideas. Red herring is, it comes from the idea, I don't know if this actually was true, but it was the idea of training scent dogs. When you have a dog that's, you know, can follow a scent and find a person or track an animal, while training them, they would take a fish and drag it diagonally, you know, like they'd have the rabbit run this way and the dog's supposed to chase the rabbit by its scent. But before the dog comes up, they would drag a stinky fish diagonally in the opposite direction across the path of the rabbit to try to train the dog to ignore, you know, distractions. But a red herring is in an argument when somebody kind of changes the subject and takes you off down a rabbit hole. It's pretty closely related to the straw man, which is the idea of putting up a different argument that seems like the same argument and then attacking that. Like if Ben is arguing, you know, we need less government to the point of no government, and somebody says, you want grandmothers to starve in a ditch, you know, that could be considered. Would that be considered one, Ben? Or is that a bad example?
No, that's a good example. And that's kind of a red herring at the same time. And a lot of these overlap, like you were saying.
Yeah. It's rare that someone only uses one if they're using any.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, it's almost hard to make a pure, like a pure straw man argument without using red herrings or false dichotomies or, you know, some of the other ones like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's hard to use, it's hard to use the fallacy of relative privation, which is also known as the appeal to worse problems. Like if you're caught in a lie and you say, but there are children being abused in this world and I talk to that. So we must, why are you bothering with the minutiae that I was caught in a lie? That's the fallacy of relative privation. And it's also known as the appeal to worse problems. A really common one with that is, you know, when I was a kid was, but there are children starving in Africa. And, you know, another very common use of it is think of the children, or a related one is think of the children. You know, the term first world problems is related to that too. But it's one that people use a lot. It's kind of also a form of misdirect, which is not necessarily always a logical fallacy, but it's a false technique of verbal defense. It's, you know, the magician, don't look at this hand, look at this hand, you know, don't look at that I'm lying, look at that there are children being harmed in the world. And that's what we should be talking about.
Another version of that is that I've used an example of that I've used to try to show people the fallacy involved is to say, okay, well, let's say you're standing in front of a judge and you're accused of robbing a bank. You wouldn't use the defense, but Your Honor, I drove by the bank 96 times when I didn't rob it. That wouldn't forgive you for robbing it the one time you stopped and actually went in and robbed it.
Or saying to the judge, yes, but you live off of stolen wages taken out of people's pocket at gunpoint, which is, you know, I've actually heard of libertarians and also what's that other thing called? Those people that look at the fringe on the flag. Yeah, sovereign citizens, you know. People said that kind of stuff in court, and it doesn't usually go well for them. I think that people who represent themselves often confuse the way things should be with the way things they actually play out in the court, which is definitely the home advantage for the people who run the court. You know, they're not going to say, oh, you caught us. You know the magic words of how your rights were subjugated in the late 1800s. You're released, sir. Next case. Yeah, it doesn't usually work that way.
No, usually what you do in, especially if it's a serious case and the judge and the prosecutor are really, you know, looking to take somebody down, if you go in and start with all your little magic tricks and saying magic words and trying to use catchy things like that to get yourself out of jail, you're probably going to end up in a worse case than you would have had you just shut your mouth and let a lawyer take care of it.
Yeah, I've seen it happen. A really good piece of advice that our lawyer friend had the other night, and of course people will say, well, he's part of the lawyer industrial complex, but, you know, first of all, he wouldn't represent himself if he were arrested in a serious crime. Randy England, our attorney co-host, he would hire another attorney. And he also said that if anybody is ever foolhardy enough to represent themselves in something serious in court, they should realize that that is more related to activism than it is to walking out of there. And if you are going to represent yourself in court, he said you should still have an attorney as counsel, because most people don't even know the procedure in a court. And, you know, it'll work against them when they say, I object, because that's what they saw in Perry Mason, when you can't object in a court at that point in that manner. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like saying, I should be able to drive wherever I want on the roads, and then trying it and wondering when it doesn't work.
But, officer,
you're living off of stolen wages. I do not
Cops
represent.
Love to hear that.
I don't even represent. I don't believe your authority.
You work for me.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
You've heard of shinybadges.com, but check out the new Causes tab. Every item includes a donation to a worthwhile Liberty Project. Buy the Silk Road pin to contribute to the Ross Ulbricht Legal Defense Fund. Or buy the Bitcoin Not Bombs t-shirt to contribute to Hoodie the Homeless 2014. Pick from many more. Go to causes.shinybadges.com and get yourself some quality Liberty products that not only start a conversation, but also put your money where your heart is. Plus, get a free gift when you pay with Bitcoin. Causes.shinybadges.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends. This is Michael Dean talking to Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. The topic today, I think we're going to read this at the top of almost every segment because I really like it. It's a Mark Twain quote. And this is me from my one-man show of Mark Twain, things he might have said. It is easier to fool the people than to convince them that they have been fooled. What say you, Ben?
I think so. I think every magician's act is based on how easy it is to fool people in really, really simple maneuvers, simple words, simple gestures. It's really easy to keep them fooled, so especially when they want to be fooled. I mean, so many people would prefer to just believe the easy things and, you know, go along to get along or get along to go along, rather than have their world shaken up and have to reevaluate things that they really don't want to think about.
Yeah. And where would you take that?
Well, an example of that is what happened with you and I in the last 30 hours or so, where you said, hey, what do you want to talk to about on the radio? And I said something like, well, you know, the CIA invented the term
conspiracy theory.
And that was something that's been kicked around a lot on the internet. And when I first heard it, I just assumed it. I believed it sounded, yeah, okay. Whoever said it with authority and referenced authority in saying it. And so I didn't bother taking it any further. And then you didn't let me get away with that. You were like, all right, prove it, Ben, prove it.
Yeah.
And so I had to go back and actually look at the facts.
You said to me that the CIA invented the term conspiracy theory to discredit people who didn't buy the Warren Commission report on JFK. And I just thought, that sounds worth investigating instead of taking on face value and, you know, posting on my Facebooks and Twitters and having 100 people like it and 50 people share it, because it sounds believable and it sounds great and it confirms our bias of that the government actually does want to mislead us and murder us and throw us in a cage after they murder us and then fine our families for, you know, the upkeep of our dead body in a cage somewhere. So it sounds believable, but it's not true. The term conspiracy theory goes
much older.
Yeah, it goes back to 19th century, 1909 article in the American Historical Review. And, you know, and that's from the Oxford English Dictionary. Now, I'm sure some conspiracy theorists would say, no, the CIA went back and edited the American Oxford Dictionary from 1909 to try to make it sound like they didn't make up conspiracy theory. Now, here's the thing. The CIA did use the term, or the government did use the term conspiracy theory. It was popularized to discredit people who didn't buy the Warren Commission's report on JFK's assassination. But I've seen that go around the internet a lot, that, you know, conspiracy theory is something. And you sent me two things that were like, you know, well, here's proof. And you sent me a link to, you know, proof that the CIA made up this term in the 60s, conspiracy theory. You sent me something to a story on beforeitsnews.com and to something to a
which is not believable.
Which is not believable. It is they have a lot of pictures, blurry pictures with red arrows on them to quote unquote prove things. And then some book by a guy called the book's called Conspiracy Theory, Theory America Discovering. And that guy also wrote a book, you know, that sounds like he wants to, you know, have like Sharia law with Christian ideology, you know, basically like that America should be a theocracy. So your sources were really suspect and it was kind of lazy. And the thing you wanted to talk about was pretty interesting, but I think the more important story here is about checking sources and not just taking, well, I have two sources to confirm it. Yeah, two loony sources.
Yeah, but then I redeemed myself because I went back and looked at it for real and I found out what you just said. They didn't actually invent the phrase, but they sort of, to quote other people, they weaponized it in the 60s.
Kind of like Ford did not invent the automobile, but he put one exactly in every barn. Yeah.
Yeah.
The CIA put a conspiracy theory in every barn.
They issued a document called number 1035-960 titled.
Catchy title.
Concerning criticism of the Warren Report. And this was issued in 1967, and they admitted to it in a Freedom of Information Act in 1976. And that's the actual, to use another phrase, the smoking gun in that. But
Yeah. All right, we'll be back with a discussion on why conservatives should not love war.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Yeah. This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiends. Hi, Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. How are you?
I'm good, Michael. How are you doing?
Yeah. People wonder why we ask each other that so much on the Freedom Fiends. We're not in the same location. We're, you know, three quarters of the way off the across the U.S. from each other. I just assume that at some point one of us is going to get our door kicked in and dragged away, kicking and screaming for free speech. So I ask very often, how are you doing? Have you been contacted by the government? And, you know, we say this thing a lot on here. We say worms, which is kind of a joke based on the dated urban slang from the 80s where people would say word, which means you speak the truth, my brother. I wholeheartedly concur with what you say, sir, and I wish to subscribe to your newsletter. Word. And so we say worms, and that's a warrant canary. A warrant canary is something people have that if they stop doing it, it means they've been contacted by the government, but under the Patriot Act have been forbidden to say they've been contacted by the government, which was actually, it's actually a thing. Under the Patriot Act, the so-called Patriot Act, which we call the Jail All the Patriot Acts here on the Freedom Fiends, under the Patriot Act, which, you know, most of you people listening were all for it. You were like, you know, on right after 9/11 back in 2001, you were like, I don't care what we have to do or give up to get those people, to get those horrible people. Yeah. And you just said, you go give them hell, George Bush, and you do whatever you need to do. And then Dick Cheney pulled this piece of this sheaf of paper out of his drawers that he had written years ago and said, it's time to implement document number 362-1A. I'm assuming that was the name of the Patriot Act before they made up a backronym. They love to make up those backronyms, like the RICO Act, which is for going after, you know, the mafia. And now it's for going after people that work together to sell raw milk, you know, because the mission creep of all these things. But I really think that the naming of the RICO Act is kind of racist because it was to go after the mafia and they named it like a mafia don kind of nickname or a, you know, a lieutenant nickname, like, yeah, hey, RICO. Yeah. You know, that's, I think that they just went through a list of Italian nicknames and tried to make up backronyms to describe the new law they'd come up with to basically be able to, you know, add 10 years to the prison sentence of anybody who discussed their crime with somebody else or with, you know, two or more people or whatever the RICO Act actually says. So the Patriot Act does allow them to contact you, interrogate you, come into your home. You know, it actually allows them to do a sneak and peek without a warrant. It actually allows them to, you know, pick your locks with a lock picking machine, which anybody can get these days, come into your house, look around and leave. The feds can do this now and have been able to since 2001 legally, to just look around and see if they see anything that would justify getting a warrant. That's in the Patriot Act, that thing that people backed and said, yes, we need to protect ourselves. And, you know, really the Patriot Act and everything that came out of it after 9/11, you know, George Bush said, we will go to the gates of hell to get these people. And, you know, allegedly they shot bin Laden a bunch of years later, but they didn't get most of the people responsible. Most of the people that did it died. You know, the people that did it died in the action of 9/11. But yeah, so basically the terrorists won and a lot of people let them win by letting George Bush and company and later Obama and company just walk all over your rights, walk all over the Constitution. The Patriot Act should be called the There's No Longer a Constitution. There's No Longer a Bill of Rights. That should have been the name of that bill.
And this is not paranoid ramblings either, because this is actually what the Patriot Act does. There's provisions in it that will allow law enforcement at different levels to go into your bank, take your bank president and walk into the vault that contains your private
safe deposit box,
open it in front of them, look through it, put it back, and then that bank president can go to jail if he tells you about it, even if he tells his wife about it or his lawyer.
Yeah.
And that's part of the law.
Yeah. And if they contact you about something, you know, it's debatable whether you can even talk to a lawyer when you're told not to discuss being contacted. So we have a warrant canary, and it's if we ever stop saying worms and start saying word instead, something's happening. I've never heard of them actually saying you can't use your warrant canary, but they probably could at some point.
Or they'll figure out some other slimy way to get around it.
Yeah. Yeah, the government are not your friends, and you can't limit the government. It's like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an analogy with cancer, but it's not working. You know, cancer can be cut out and can be eliminated. I guess government's a cancer. You need to cut it out. And I'm not talking about violent means. I'm talking about by not supporting it. And that brings us to our next topic. Why conservatives should not back the endless wars that America's going into. And here on the Freedom Fiends, from time to time, we do things. I wouldn't call them charity because that sounds like a handout. We find causes that we like, and don't send us causes and say, do this for us, because we only do this once in a great while, and I have a long list of things I like to support by offering ads at no cost. And one of the things that I like is this site called antiwar.com. Scott Horton used to be on antiwar.com, and he went off and splintered somewhere else, and the Scott Horton show is great, and you should check it out. But I did an ad for antiwar.com. Which is, it's not, I almost used this line in here. I almost wrote this into the ad. I almost said, antiwar.com, not your hippie grandparents, you know, not your hippie sister's anti-war site. Because antiwar.com is not a left-leaning, let's hold hands and listen to flowers. A lot of the people who are involved in this site are gun owners. They're small businessmen. They're connected with companies that sell precious metals. You know, they're us. They are us kind of people, a lot of them. And there might even be a couple lefties who've written for that site at some point, but they're like, they're the kind that hate Obama, you know, that are like, hey, this isn't what we signed up for, man. So, you know, antiwar.com is a pro-free market, you know, don't go along with the endless wars that you're being asked to pay for. I'm going to play this ad, and then we're going to discuss it. All right, here we go. Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com. Yeah, and you said the music that Nima Vedati, the co-founder and former co-host of this show, he made that music last night specifically for the ad. That's the debut of the ad. It's not even inserted in the GCN system. Won't be until Monday, but I'm putting it, playing it today and then putting it in the podcast today and tomorrow, and it'll be in all of that Monday. But what did you say about the music? I like the music.
Well, Nima's so unbelievably talented, and you normally think of Nima's music being hip-hop rap type stuff. And for him to produce that, I thought it sounded more like Sammy Davis Jr. than Nima.
Yeah.
And I mean that as a compliment, because, you know, the big band type, not really big band, but the real jazzy 50s type bold music, it was good in its way. And yeah, it does, and it really sounds good in that ad. I really like it. But it didn't, I mean, it surprises me. Nima surprises me with his talent.
He Maybe is very I talented. Just put it that way. But I got to give credit to, he's very talented, and that's a great piece of music that he came up with that. And I like that he's the guy that turned me on to antiwar.com all those years ago. But, you know who was the first person? You won't know this, but the first person, do you know who the first person was to put a kind of hip hop flavor to big band horn blasts like that?
I would have no idea.
It was Jim Thirlwell, also known as Fetus. And he has, and Clint, oh, he has about 20 different names he records under, but he kind of helped co-invent industrial music. You know, a lot of people like, and he never got as big for it as a lot of people like, you know, people hear him and say, you sound like Nine Inch Nails. And he's like, no, Nine Inch Nails sounds like me. And he's absolutely right. He's in my movie, DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, if you ever want to check him out. So that ad, you know, let's discuss the words in that ad. Are you tired of funding endless occupations around the world? So we have four or five reasons conservatives should be anti-war. You know, I'll say them all, and then we'll talk about them at length for a few segments. The first is, who would Jesus drone? You know, if you're a Christian, or if you're religious, you know, of any stripe, You shouldn't want to kill innocent people. You shouldn't want to say, bomb them all back to the Stone Age and let God sort them out. That is not an acceptable
That's not Christian.
Belief system. It's not Christian. It's not at all. You know, who would Jesus drone and bomb in the Holy Land, too, when it really comes down to it? The second thing is what I said about, are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? The word conservative used to mean you don't want to spend money on stupid stuff. The third thing is it used to always be a cry of the conservatives, we're not the police of the world. And most conservatives are very anti-one worldy, anti-UN. And when you're supporting endless wars around the world, you are supporting the UN, you're supporting NATO, you're supporting one worldism, you're supporting collective thoughts. You know, we conservatives always condemn liberals for being collectivist. There's nothing more collectivist than let's go kill a bunch of people and send boots on the ground. You know, let's go kill a bunch of those people and, you know, some of our people because Barack Obama thinks it's a good idea or George Bush thinks it's a good idea. The fourth reason conservatives should be against endless wars is blowback. Okay, the reason those people want to kill us is not because we have Britney Spears, not because we have Coca-Cola, not because we have flat screen TVs. It's because the West has been over there for 100 years occupying them and stealing their land and taking their oil. And, you know, if you think about it, the U.S. kind of created Al-Qaeda. The U.S. armed the Mujahideen to fight the Russians, to be our proxy puppets to fight the Russians. Not our. I'm not going to include myself in that. You know, the U.S. armed. Let me say that whole paragraph again without us. The U.S. armed, because I didn't do it. I had nothing to do with it. I was much younger and was still anti-war. And being anti-war is the consistent thing throughout my whole life. I'm 50. I've been anti-war since I could speak. I'm pro self-defense. I carry a gun. But who would Jesus bomb?
But you don't attack other people.
Yeah, I don't attack other people, man. And I don't think innocent bystanders are acceptable.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Ross Ulbricht was arrested by the FBI in 2013 and charged with victimless crimes in relation to allegedly operating the Bitcoin-based Silk Road black market. He has been in a prison cell awaiting trial ever since. If he did it, he's a hero for making the black market a safer place. If he did not, he's a man wrongfully accused. Either way, if you love freedom and want to end the war on drugs, Ross and his family need your support. You can learn more and help fund his defense at FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org.
Freedom Fiends. Mark Twain said, "It is easier to fool people than to convince them they have been fooled." And that's the topic for today. So, we're on the radio after Rush Limbaugh on a couple stations, and we're on the radio before Glenn Beck on a couple stations. I know of at least one station, because I made this liner, and I've listened to this station on their streaming link. There's at least one station where at this point, the break you just heard on the Rush Limbaugh show, there's a recording of my voice on his show that says, "You're listening to the best of Rush. Stick around for the Freedom Fiends." Or no, it's "You're listening to Rush's Week in Review. Stick around for the Freedom Fiends." You have a comment about Rush, Ben, but it's indicative of a bigger thing with conservatives and people who listen to conservative radio, who are most of our audience. We're not bashing you. We're begging you to be consistent. So go ahead, Ben.
Libertarians have a lot in common with conservatives, but the problem with conservatives that I see is the lack of consistency and the changing thing that they produce as what they want. So in the 1990s, for instance, when Rush was constantly complaining about the Clinton administration and Bill Clinton himself and so forth, one of the main points that Rush hit over and over and over and over, he just beat that horse, was that Bill Clinton was trying to make America the police of the world. He was getting us into.
It's a good point to make.
Yeah, yeah. And it was true. That's what Bill Clinton was doing. He was getting us involved in all kinds of things that we had no business getting involved in. He was getting the U.S. military.
Who is this we of which you speak?
Well, very true. But the best I can do
saying,
is.
I'm just saying, I'm pulling the Ian Freeman thing of like, I didn't co-sign that. You shouldn't right. say we of things you had nothing to do with. And in a bigger sense, had to pay for, but had yeah. no control over and no say in.
That's the only aspect that would be legitimate in using we, is that they stole my money to pay for it. But he got the U.S. military involved in all kinds of things that they had no business being involved in, had them wearing insignias from other military units, including the UN and NATO, and had UN commanders and NATO commanders telling American troops what to do in the field. And this infuriated conservatives back in the 1990s. And Rush Limbaugh was one of the loudest voices complaining about Clinton doing that. And yet, this is precisely what a Republican president, George W. Bush, got going in Afghanistan. And not only that, using American former military, now contract, which essentially it means, you know, the U.S. government spent a lot of money to train these people, and then they stepped right out of the U.S. uniform right into a company uniform from some private contractor
Except they get to have a beard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They get to have a beard and they don't have an American flag. And nobody says to them, thank you for your service, but they get paid 8 to 9 times as much as a serviceman.
Yeah. You know, the thing that was complained about by conservatives in the 90s, George W. Bush made it commonplace. And now the clown that we have in the White House now is the same way. He's doing the same exactly the same thing. And conservatives are quiet. They're sitting on their hands.
I got to say, though, at least less of the world is going along with it this time. You know, of all things, like, you know, England, who have historically been considered a liberal nation, you know, jumped in bed with George Bush. Like, yes, sir. What can I do for you? Who do you want me to kill? How many young men do you want me to send to die? And this time with the arming the Syrian rebels thing, like England yesterday, you know, the spokesman for the prime minister was like, I don't think we'll be doing that.
But in the end, they will, because the U.S. government pretty much gives them their walking papers. They know on what side their bread is buttered.
Yeah.
And the U.S. government acts as the bullies of the world. They, you know, they go around to these different countries. They tell them exactly how they want their country to run. And if they don't do it, they'll either cut off their economic supplies or they'll invade them.
Yeah, that's so square, man.
It is. And it's money stolen from us to do that.
Yeah. If you don't like
the taxes,
if you don't like globalism and you don't want a one world government, don't go around saying, we need to, you know. And also, when you say we need to, you're talking about other people, about sending other people, you know.
Maybe those conservatives ought to get over there themselves and do that.
Well, a lot of them have, but a lot of them haven't. A lot of them are war hawks, you know, who want to go to war, but want to send other people to do it.
Chicken hawks.
Chicken hawks, that's the word. War hawks. All right, we'll be back with hour two of War Were Declared on the Freedom Fiends. After this trip to the free market, where there's no gun to your head, and you can purchase goods and services.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker. This is Mr. Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster, and on the other end of the inner tubes we have Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, from the Bad Quaker podcast at badquaker.com, also known as the Bearded Possum. Hello, Ben.
Hey, Michael, who would Jesus drone?
Now, there's people wanting to change their channel or complain right now, but the topic and the name of the show, I decided during the break, the name of the show is going to be, the name of this episode is, why, it's not going to be Who Would Jesus Drone. That's just too crass. It's going to be why conservatives should be anti-war.
And that's, and they should be.
That seems to have been what the topic has turned into. Yeah. And we opened each segment pretty much with a quote from Mark Twain. Oh, also, I'd like feedback today from regular listeners about my audio. If you think I sound better or worse or just as good but different, the sound of my voice, the intelligibility of my voice, the distortion or lack of distortion of my voice, not Ben. I don't care about him. No, he's fine. He's the same. I'm doing something vastly different today, and it's basically I'm not using my tube preamp compressor unit. I've bypassed it completely under the – I'm laboring under the delusion that my mic technique has gotten good enough that I no longer need it. And I feel that while it gives me a robust sound, it's a little bit of a furry sound. The normal sound is a little woofy and furry no matter how I tweak it. It's the tube amp, which is great for singing and recording, you know, electric guitar, but I don't know if it's right for talk radio. And the only people I know in the world who use tube preamps for talk radio are myself, Nima Vidotti, and do you still use one, Ben?
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. It was kind of quiet. But so, yeah, if you're a regular listener, let me know if my voice sounds better, worse, more intelligible, less intelligible, etc. So the quote from Mark Twain that we've been repeating today is, "It is easier to fool people than to convince them they've been fooled." And I think that good Americans all over this nation have been fooled into thinking that endless war and bombings and boots on the ground and sacrificing our children and grandchildren is the way to go, and somehow what God wants and what we need to do to project strength on the world stage. And there's actually people who hate Obama who finally they're like, I finally like something he's doing because he's giving those Middle Easterners a how-to and bombing them. So here's the four reasons. I'm going to recap these for the stations that join us only on hour two. The four reasons that conservatives should be anti-war. First of all, the Who Would Jesus Drone. Like, basically, you can't be a good Christian and be in favor of just endlessly dropping bombs and occupying other countries. The second reason is the tax. You know, if everyone got a bill, if everyone who said, like, I love the war over there, or I love the war on drugs, the way that's paid for is by devaluing your money over a period of time to where, you know, a dollar is worth like 5 cents 60 years ago. You know, so they're stealing the money that way. They're raising taxes. They're putting taxes that are hidden in everything. You know, the candy bar, the truck that brings the candy bar, everything you buy has layers upon layers of taxes behind it. They're giving all themselves raises. They're creating new departments all the time and, you know, basically making the majority of people soon will be working in the federal government to the point where you can't, you know, no one will want to criticize it because their cousin, their mother, their sister, their daughter, their uncle, themselves will be dependent on it to feed their family. You know, we complain about the welfare recipients getting the food stamps and the welfares, and we should, But we should also take a look at the amount of money that government workers from, you know, the UN to the federal to the state to the local to, you know, the city council even, you know, who probably have more control over ruining your life if they want than a Barack Obama does. Although he's a goon and he's a socialist and a liar and his feet stink. But if you actually got a bill every month for your share of the war on drugs and the war on guns and the war on freedom and the war over in the Middle East, you would suddenly become a peace-loving person who's very tolerant of the potheads. And the reason I talk about the war on drugs is because the war on drugs fuels the war on guns. It's like those Bearcats they have in your town, those militarized police, those are the people that are going to take your guns, you know, and they're just going to send robots to do it. So second reason conservatives should be against war is the cost, the economic cost. The third is the, do you really want to be the police of the world? And do you want to support the UN and the one world government and the consolidation of people in Europe and all over the world telling you what to do in your neighborhood with your guns and your rights and your money? Because when you support endless wars, you are supporting that. And the other one is the blowback, the unintended consequence, the everything you're doing right now is creating the next Al-Qaeda. You know, Al-Qaeda came out of the U.S. arming the Mujahideen, in the Cold War to fight the Russians as proxy warriors and a splinter, radical splinter. You know, they were like, they were beloved. They were welcomed by Ronald Reagan into the White House and he had tea with the head of the Muj. He called them the founding fathers of those nations of the Middle East, the new founding fathers. He compared them to George Washington. He armed them. Congress was pushing for, you know, congressman, who was the congressman, the Texas congressman?
Oh, I can't remember. That was that Hightower that, or one of those
that
guys?
That Texas playboy. There's people out there shouting his name at the radio. But, you know, people in the Cold War, Americans that all the conservatives love to invoke. Let's just talk about Ronald Reagan. He loved the Muj. He armed the Muj. He gave them Stinger missiles to shoot down Russian planes. He, you know, went through backdoor methods to get them AKs by funneling them through Israel. He did all sorts of stuff to arm them. A splinter group of them became Al-Qaeda. Okay, right now, there's people pushing to arm Syrian rebels against ISIS. That's going to work well. They're going to just always love America with all those new weapons they've had. All right, so Ben, which of these four points do you want to talk about first of why conservatives should hate war?
Well, you know, all of these are low-hanging fruit. All of them are really easy to take and run with.
Well, pluck one and juice up and have a talk.
I remember back during the Reagan years, you mentioned Ronnie. I remember back during the Reagan years, the conservatives were very much opposed to a branch of Republicans that, you know, when Ronald Reagan essentially took over the Republican Party, he did so bringing the conservatives into power in the Republican Party and pushing out those older Republicans. And but of course,
well, he was
at the
Hollywood,
same time,
keep in mind, he was a Hollywood liberal. And that's fact. He was a Democrat, an actor, Hollywood. He was just like, you know, any of them now. He was the 50s version of that, the 60s version of that. And there's even a clip on YouTube of him saying something really funny of, you know, someone said, well, the economy is bad. Like it ever has been good since then. You know, the economy is bad. Do you take any responsibility for it? No one seems to be willing. And he said, well, I do take responsibility because for many years I was a Democrat. You know, he was a Hollywood liberal who was not in line. And that was when, you know, the liberals were the warmongers, too. This was before the hippies. And, you know, even during the hippies, you know, LBJ wanted to bomb the hippies back to the Stone Age. So go on.
Yeah, but when Ronald Reagan basically took over the Republican Party before his actual nomination, a lot of conservatives were very excited about that. But the day of his nomination, he basically compromised everything that he had said by taking on the George Herbert Walker Bush, the original George Bush, as his vice presidential nominee. By doing that, he essentially let the lions right back into the cage. He just he brought the people that he had been fighting for years against in public. He brought them right back into the Republican power which indicated that they were all really the same anyway. It was all just one big happy family. But during that time frame, when Ronald Reagan was giving lip service to all these conservative ideas and everything, one of the main things that they were talking about was, you know, not arming the world, not the U.S. not getting involved in all these other countries, the U.S. not supporting the U.N., get the U.S. out of the U.N. And people so often said these phrases and they sounded so libertarian to the ears of libertarians. But in fact, evidently, the only thing we can assume coming at it from a libertarian point of view is that the conservatives were either lying, were lied to and fooled, or were complete dupes in it. And, you know, so probably they were fooled. Probably they were lied to.
And it was honorable before that to be a conservative and be a non-interventionist, which, you know,
yeah.
Jefferson and Madison spoke highly of not being the police of the world. They didn't use that term. They used the terms non-interventionist. And then around the time of Reagan, there was a slur made up to use on non-interventionist people, and it was isolationist. And that's another example of the fallacy we started the show with, talking about the ad hominem, you know, making up dirty names to call people who are trying to do something that isn't dirty.
And if you think about the wars of the 20th century, and you just go down the list of the wars prior to Ronald Reagan in the 20th century, every single war that the U.S. government was involved in was done by a Democrat. The Republicans opposed World War One. The Republicans opposed going into the interventionist policies that got World War II started. The Republicans were against the actions that caused the Korean War to happen. The Republicans were against pushing people into Vietnam. The Republicans were, to a large extent, at least the words that they said were anti-war, until they got the opportunity to be the war party, and then they leapt on that. And it's not the rank and file of the Republicans that did that. It was the leadership. And part of the reason for that is because power corrupts. And so this is the tendency of all government. People who are out of power have great ideas to come into power and make them, you know, fix the economy, bring about peace. They all claim to not want war until they actually get into power. And once they get into power, that changes the person and it causes them to want to use the power that they have. So it's only natural that they get into a war.
Yeah. California. Preaching on the burning shore, California, knocking on the golden door.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com. This is the Freedom Fiends. And the top. And what?
I started saying that was Michael Dean.
And that little number was actually some other lyrics sung to a song by the band Bomb. It was actually the Grateful Dead sung to Bomb, which is probably making some light go off somewhere in some government goon sub basement where someone is paid more money than we make doing this show to listen to this show and look for hidden meaning. There is
not only that, there's probably some Deadhead fan out there shaking with anger right now that you would desiccate the holy lyrics.
Oh, I don't know. The Grateful Dead were pretty pretty commonly reinterpreted their own and other people's songs, but not the way I did. So we're talking about why conservatives who've all just changed the channel because we're talking about the Grateful Dead. We're talking about why conservatives should be against the endless wars that America engages in, because they tend to, I think, get duped. You know, it's like Mark Twain said, it's easier to fool people than to convince them they've been fooled. We are trying to lovingly convince conservatives who believe in endless wars and say, yeah, we need to bomb back to the Stone Age. We're trying to convince y'all lovingly that you may have been fooled. I mean, basically, you just have to look at, like, Barack Obama's in favor of endless wars, so why are you? Because he is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. But we're going on to number two, reason number two, who would Jesus drone? And Ben Stone, a Christian, will now tell you why Christians should not be in favor of endless wars.
Yeah, and let me just give a little bit of credentials. We'll appeal to authority in that fallacy, but let me just give a little bit of credentials also. I am a Christian. I am a...
You're a minister.
I am an ordained minister. I am a Quaker. Quakers have been around in the Christian classification since the 1600s. So this is not some new thing. It's not a cult. It's not a passing fad that might come through.
But you have a beard. People don't trust people with beards, although Jesus had a beard.
Jesus had a beard. Jesus didn't cut his hair. I don't cut my hair. But the one difference I have with Quakers is that Quakers tend to be pacifists. I am not a pacifist. I believe in self-defense.
You're a preacher with a gun.
Yes, and just as a shout out, Bill Buford and I are going to be doing a podcast later today where we discuss pacifism and self defense. So this is something that I've looked at a lot. I've thought about a lot.
Bill is no hippie. Bill is he's a retired Army officer.
He is. Yeah, he spent time in Afghanistan in 2013. So this is a guy who knows what he's talking about. So who would Jesus drone? Well, and the reason we throw that out, that's kind of libertarian flash. That's sort of macho libertarian flash. But the reason that
new kids today are calling brutalism when it's libertarian flash combined with just being rude. We like the old 70s styles macho libertarian flash, which is just going to the heart of it and waking people up with your statement, even if it may shock a few people and have more conservative libertarian saying, no, we need to win hearts and minds. Don't say that.
Yeah, it's kind of the ice water to the face effect is what we're shooting for. But who really would Jesus drone? If Jesus were in control of the United States government, well, first of all, he wouldn't be, because even in his day, he wouldn't have anything to do with any kind of government authorities.
Yeah, he was put to death for challenging the government, a government that was much like the government today. It was overstepping. It was stepping on people. It was crushing people. It was doing what it wanted.
Yeah, the religious people and the government of his day killed him. And that alone is a thought that you should ponder on. But Jesus did not teach that a nation state should go and invade other nation states and force them to behave in the way that the first nation state wanted. He didn't teach anything like that. And he didn't teach that you know, the people in the government in Rome or even the government in Jerusalem should go and attack the government in Baghdad. And there was a government in Baghdad at the time. And Jesus had no interest in even in the teachings of Jesus and in Christianity itself, there is nothing in it that supports the idea that you should force your opinions on other people.
Yeah,
Christianity itself.
And we're talking about the Holy Land here. I mean, literally, you're saying we need to bomb them people back to the Stone Age. And, you know, when the U.S. is droning a wedding party and killing, you know, 80 people to get one possible bad guy who's at that wedding, you know, I mean, if you're anti-abortion, you should be anti-drone, because there's a lot of pregnant women at every wedding I've ever been to.
Yeah.
You're killing unborn babies when you drone a wedding party.
Very true.
We'll be back on the Freedom Fiends.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. This is Davi Barker from ShinyBadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at ShinyBadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
La 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 la.
This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiends, with Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, and we are talking about the topic of why conservatives should be against the endless wars that all the Bushes and all the Clintons and all the Obamas want to keep us embroiled in. And we can say us collectively, not in what the policy should be. Like, we're over there killing people. The only reason we on the Fiends will say us is because we are paying for it and we have no choice in it. So, number three on our top four countdown of the four signs of evil of America, the four signs of evil of the endless wars. I'm not going to say America's evil on this radio here. I'm going to say a lot of the policies of America are evil. There's a lot of good people in this nation, in every nation. People are the same all over the world. People who say America's the greatest country in the world usually haven't traveled very much, I will say that, unless it was to go to exotic countries, meet unusual people, and murder them. So number three in our four reasons why conservatives should be against the endless wars, because we're paying for it.
Somebody's got to pay for war.
And it's not very conservative to say we should just dump endless billions and trillions of dollars on the war machine.
Yeah, actually, you know, all the wealth of the United States combined, or the wealth of the people of the United States, I'm talking about the working people in the United States who work jobs and create wealth, all of the wealth of them combined is not enough to keep the war machine rolling. It requires inflation, and inflation is when you print more and more and more money and just dump it into the system. And that's how the government pays for all this. And in doing that, in addition to debt, it also takes out tons and tons of debt. But when you do either of those things, whether you're creating more debt, therefore creating more money, or if you're just creating money, either act is an act of taxation. It is taking the dollar that's in your pocket or that's in your bank account, it's in your retirement savings, and it's making it worth less so that the government can take that money and go kill people in other countries that are not a threat to the United States. I hear pretty regularly, I'll hear people say, especially conservatives, they'll say, well, I'd rather fight them over there than fight them over here. Except the problem with that is that no one in Afghanistan would even, well, I shouldn't say no one, but the vast majority of people in Afghanistan who hate America right now today and are willing to die to kill an American, almost none of those people would know America existed if it weren't for the United States government putting people in Afghanistan, paying them money, interfering with the government that's there, killing them, training them, providing training material for them. If it weren't for all of that stuff, they wouldn't even know we existed.
They barely know what America is. A lot of the people that have come to hate America because America is bombing them. First of all, when the first wave of soldiers came into the Middle East again after 9/11, a lot of people there thought they were Russians. You know, they saw guys in green outfits with modern rifles and equipment, and they were like, oh, the Russians are back. And a lot of them called America around that time the Kingdom of America, and called George Bush the King of America. And they weren't being ironic. Like, that's how little they knew about America. They thought it was a kingdom and George Bush was the king. And I guess it's kind of accurate in a way, because he was kind of acting like a king.
You know, it's funny, too, because back around 2001, 2002, 2003, one of the common things for news people to do, and especially comedians like to do this, they would go to the man on the street interview and ask people, can you find Afghanistan on this map of the world? And lots of Americans had no idea where Afghanistan was, or try to find Qatar, or try to find, you know, any of those countries like that. And lots of Americans can't find, even today, can't find those countries on a map. So how well do you think the average Afghanistan person knows anything about America, other than the fact that there are American soldiers that just blew up the wedding party that his niece was, you know, going to.
Which brings us to another thing on this list. We can talk more about taxes. And I actually looked at this list again, and it's really five reasons that conservatives should be anti-war. But the blowback, the you can't kill people in the Middle East or anywhere in the world to rout out the terrorists without creating exponentially more terrorists. Every time the U.S. drones a wedding party and kills 50 or 80 people to get one guy, they create 500 more terrorists because
every
cousin, every uncle, you know, think about it. Every one of those people who before thought America had a king and didn't know anything about it, all of a sudden wants to murder everyone in America because America dropped a bomb and killed their whole family and killed their loved ones. You know, you think about it. And these are people who would never take up arms against anybody. Suddenly, they devote their life and are willing to die to destroy America. The analogy I like to use is Red Dawn, one of my favorite movies, and I am definitely cheering for the kids in that movie. In the older version or the newer version, I'm cheering for the kids. It's, you know, America is attacked on American soil by a foreign invading army. And, you know, the few people left who don't just curl up in a ball and wait for the government to help them, who actually own rifles and actually know how to use them and actually know how to build a fire without matches and run into the woods and hide from people and, you know, do guerrilla style attacks. I cheer for those people in that. Now, think about, you know, everyone who strokes their rifle and polishes their bayonet while watching that movie. That's most of the people listening. That's most of us. Now, think about that in reverse. You know, if you were in America, you're taking your daughter to be married, and somebody bombs the wedding party, kills your whole family, you're injured, you live, what are you going to do? Are you going to say, oh, well, I guess it's God's will? No, you are going to go on a murderous rampage for the rest of your days against whatever you perceive that enemy to be. That's what happens every time you support America bombing random people at will, illegally, unconstitutionally, with secret courts and secret authorizations, and pay for it. And then you complain, the dollar's devalued. Obama's devaluing the dollar. No, they started devaluing the dollar as soon as they had a dollar. More than 100 years ago, more like 200 years ago. You know, and this happened before the Jekyll Island meeting 100 years ago. This happened before the Federal Reserve. George Washington went to war with American war vets from the Revolutionary War who'd fought under him and beside him against the British. You know, a little more than a decade later, he went and murdered them because they wouldn't pay a tax on whiskey, which he was also a whiskey producer. He had a vested interest. You know, they wouldn't pay a tax on that was higher than the tax they'd fought the British against. You know, the U.S. has been, I can't say it on radio, but, you know, has been being bad to the little guy who'd vote for the rulers since its inception, since the first founding father, since the first U.S. president after the Constitutional Convention. All right, so go on.
And
there.
The reason why is because it's easier to fool people than to convince them that they have been fooled.
Yep, it really is.
So, that's our Mark Twain quote that we've been repeating over and over.
Yep. So reason number five, you know, that was reason number four. Like, you're creating the next Al-Qaeda. You know, every time you support these wars by arming, you know, one group against another group, but also just by being over there and occupying them and treating them like the kids in Denver or in Colorado were treated in Red Dawn. Number five, in the reasons you shouldn't back the endless war, the wars over there come here and become a war on you. You know, think about the militarized vehicles and the modern army surplus gear that the local police in your town, even if it's got 1,200 people, they're getting a tank or they've got a tank. You know, they are armed to the teeth. They also don't know how to use it, as those pictures in Ferguson pointed out. You had guys just not even holding rifles right and not knowing how to use stuff and having too much tactical gear on it that was useless and canceled other tactical gear out. You know, when you back the wars in Afghanistan, or even when you back the war on drugs here, you are backing the police who in a couple years are going to kick in your door and take your guns. And you think you're going to have this Ruby Ridge fantasy. No, man, they're just going to pull you over on the way to the dentist, you know, with 12 cops with rifles pointed at you, take you out of your car, handcuff you, take the keys out of your pocket, go to your house and take your guns without a shot being fired. So whenever you are arming some mentally co-signing some aspect of the government of we need the government to blah, 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 you are backing a war against you.
You know that there was that minister back in the 1930s that said first they came for the communists and I said nothing because I wasn't a communist. And that applies right to this argument that what you are doing is you are arming the people who are eventually going to disarm you. Because this, you know, eventually they run out of enemies and they have to get new ones. A lot of people think, oh, well, it's okay if they have, you know, the Bearcats or whatever in the big cities or in towns or whatever, because wink, wink, nod, nod, we know who they're going to go after and it's not going to be me. Someday it'll be you. Someday they'll run out of the others and they'll come after you because that's what they always do. History, you know, Bill Buport says history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. And that's exactly what we're looking at.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember growing up and it was the Russians, you know, when 45, I'm 50 years old. When I was a kid and we were having duck and cover drills, it was the Russians are going to get us. And now Russians are like, oh, they're quaint. They're the gangsters in our movies. And they're a source of inexpensive rifles. I mean, you know, I would say probably 10 to 20% of the people listening here probably own a Russian rifle. If they can't afford one of those spiffy American AR platform ones, they've probably got an AK. And they're good rifles. You know, they starved their people to make good, inexpensive, durable rifles that you can run over with a tank and you can clean them with a boot lace dipped in motor oil, which is, you know, how they did it over there. So, you know, that was the Russians. And now it's the Middle Easterners are all scary. And, you know, in the 70s, there were Middle Easterners hijacking American planes and, you know, flying them to Algeria. That happened. But, you know, the people who control your fear, who, as Mark Twain said, fool you, and it's easier to fool you than to tell you you've been fooled. You know, they hadn't decided yet in the 60s and 70s that the Middle Easterners were the new target, the new scary guys. And there's scary people everywhere in the world, but I'm more scared of my government than I am of somebody over on the other side of the world. We'll be back with the thrilling conclusion of why
redemption in the third act.
Why conservatives should be anti-war.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN or virtual private network from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Freedom Fiends, having a discussion and a redemption in the third act of why conservatives should be against the endless wars. Ben Stone is going to take us out here. Go ahead, Ben.
You know, we talked about Ronald Reagan earlier, and his wife got a lot of ridicule for something she said, and she probably should have gotten a lot of ridicule. But she had a program to fight against drug use by just saying no to drugs.
She sat on a tank in South Central to symbolize the war on drugs, and conservatives cheered, and now conservatives are wondering why there are tanks in their little town with police that want to take their guns.
Yeah, because there was an inconsistency there in her message. She was saying, just say no. But in the background, she was saying, or we'll kill you. You know, that's the problem. Don't take that approach. Government is not the solution. Government is the problem. Ronald Reagan said that. So this, what is the solution? The solution is stop doing the bad thing. Stop supporting war. Stop agreeing. Every time you hear one of these clowns on television say, well, what we need to do is get over there and get tough with them. No, we don't. We need to mind our own business. I, Ben Stone, need to mind my own business. And that includes what's happening in Syria, what's happening in Afghanistan, what's happening in Beirut, what's happening anywhere in the world. I, Ben Stone, need to mind my own business. But it also applies to what's the neighbor doing? Why is he out in his yard this late at night? What's that thing that he's growing in his backyard? Is that a tomato plant growing in his front yard? He shouldn't have tomatoes in his front yard. No, you should mind your business. As your business is not what's on his property. And this is conservative. This is what conservatives used to say, and this is what conservatives used to teach to their children. People should mind their own business. People should help their neighbor, not judge their neighbor. That's Christian. Christian is not doing to others something that you don't want done to you. If you don't want to bomb, if you don't want some foreigners in some faraway country bombing people in America, then don't send people to bomb them. If you want to be treated in a certain way, treat others in that way. That's Christian. That's what Jesus taught. And that's what conservatives used to say. Conservatives used to teach their children. Don't go and judge your neighbor. Don't try to attack your neighbor. Help your neighbor. And the more of that that we do on an individual basis, the quicker we move to a world where people actually leave each other alone and where we're not robbed every day by a government to pay for the taxes that go to support all these ridiculous things like the war on drugs and the war on poverty and the war on, you know, people around the world that we've never heard of and would never have heard of us had we not been, had our government not been over there, the U.S. government over there influencing their government or buying off their politicians or bombing their people or killing people in wedding parties that have never even heard of America, don't have any idea, couldn't name the name of a single American city. And yet, they're dead just the same because an American bomb blew their entire house apart because somebody in that house may have been a terrorist. And that's all it takes. That's good enough suspicion.
Well, also point out that a lot of people who get killed as terrorists, it's just neighbors beefing at each other and using the U.S. government as their bully. Like a lot of times it's like, you know, you have more goats than me and my, you know, cousin married into your tribe and I don't like it. So they go tell the CIA plant or the U.S. military guy who's walking around their town like, hey, that guy is making bombs. And the U.S. doesn't check it out. They just blow him up. That happens all the time.
Yeah, for conservatives, I think you mentioned this earlier in the radio show, for conservatives who say that they're pro-life and then to be supportive of a war where people are killed based on suspicions from, you know, death from the sky, that's very inconsistent and non-Christian.
Yep. Thanks, Ben, for discussing why conservatives should be against all the endless wars.
And it's easier to fool people than to convince them that they have been fooled.
It is true.
Thanks for having me on, Michael.
Thanks for being had. No, thanks for being on the show, Ben. It's always a pleasure. That's Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker Podcast at badquaker.com. We'll be back tomorrow with Diana on the Freedom Fiends. Talk radio, musical extravaganza. Worms.